He may be fat and bald, but he knows his sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Start off with a little Aerosmith, Ragdoll. I feel like a ragdoll right now because I'm a little unprepared and kind of out of breath and sweaty and fat and bald and all the horrible things that come with being who I am. But either way, welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Also at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show, as always, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs. You can catch all the preseason NFL games. We'll talk about that here in a second. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. Lots to cover today, including breaking news from Bozeman High School that we have exclusively for you today. The Bucks with the big wins over this past week, and football camp starts tomorrow for the Bobcats, so we'll get a lot into that as well. But first, as always, we start with national news. NFL camps kicked off this last week, and a couple of Cats guys are still in the mix trying to prove that they can what they're worth in camps and see if they can make it. The first one is Alex Singleton. He is playing for the Philadelphia Eagles after signing earlier this summer. He was named Defensive Player of the Year in the CFL last season and won a Grey Cup for the Calgary Stampeders. So far, Alex Singleton has done a great job of showing his skills. Early on, he had two huge hits in one of the first practices, so big that some of the coaches pulled him off to the side and said, maybe calm down just a skosh. We don't need some of our players getting hurt this early, but that's the kind of enthusiasm and hits you want to see. He also would have had a for sure sack in the second or third practice with pads on as well, that one of the reporters posted that nobody stopped him. He blitzed right up the middle, and if it weren't for you can't hit the quarterback and it being blown dead, he would have definitely blown up the quarterback. So I think he has a good shot going forward. Their first preseason game is next Thursday the 8th at 5:30 versus the Tennessee Titans. Game can watch on NFL Network, so make sure you check that out if you have a chance. See how Singleton does in these first couple games. Normally is when he's going to get his most playing time. The third and fourth games are kind of tune-ups, maybe the fourth game if he makes it that far, but I think he will, and this is a good chance to see what he can do. So make sure you check that out if you get a chance. The other player, former Cat Mike Person. Person is in his ninth season with the NFL. Easy for me to say. Person's best year came with the Falcons, where he was considered one of the best centers in the league for most of that year before getting injured and having to move around. Person is very versatile and can and has played every position on the line. But at 6'4", 305, staying healthy will be a main factor on him getting in and staying on a team. Towards the end waning of his career, it's always tough when you're an offensive lineman and you're that big and you're getting hit every single play like they do, to, I guess, not really stay healthy, but the wear and tear and the little things to be able to go constantly go out there. No major injuries, but just wear and tear of being able to participate in every practice and get out there on game days. I honestly think the two of them have a good chance and they will end up on the 58-man roster this season, but I don't know if either one of them will be starters. Parson probably has the best chance of being a starter. I think Singleton will earn his spot on special teams, a la Dane Fletcher, the way he started out when he first started out with the Eagles. I think that kind of a role is more of what that might end up being for Singleton to start with until he can get some reps at linebacker and they can show his ability at linebacker. We all know he has it. If you watched any CFL, and a lot of Bozeman people and Montana people did because Singleton was playing on there, he was dominant on the defensive end. One defensive MVP for the league. Most sacks ever most tackles ever in a season, I believe, is what he had. He was unstoppable almost in that backfield. If he can bring that over to this level, I think he'll be in good shape. The Eagles are pretty set as their starting linebackers, but I think if he can have that second round where they need a breather, if something happens and he can come in and prove himself, I think he will. And I think on special teams, kickoff return and coverage and some of those kind of things, if he can cement himself in those with some big hits and good plays there, then I think he makes the team as a backup and then gets his chance to go through. As for Mike Person, he is getting towards his end. This will be his 10th NFL year. He's moved around. He was with Atlanta. I think he was with Indianapolis a couple times, maybe even with the Rams once. So he's moved around a lot. He's with the 49ers now. I think because of his maturity and his leadership, he has a very good chance of staying with the team on the 58-man roster. Again, I think a lot of it on his end just goes to health. When you've got 10 years under your belt, that's a lot of nicks and bruises and aches and pains that you have. Can he overcome that? You're talking about somebody that's still in his early 30s, so it's not like he's the oldest person in the world, but you're getting hit and you're 300 pounds, your knees start to give out, and everyone talks about surgeries and how dangerous the sport is. But if he can stay healthy, I think they keep him on, if nothing else, as a backup and more of a mentor to help the younger offensive linemen and everything else. But because he can play every single position out there, I think that that really bodes well for him because they can move him anywhere. And when you have somebody versatile like that, you don't really give up on him or get rid of him because anybody can go down at any time. If somebody can only play left tackle and you've got two good left tackles, you're going to get rid of that third one or maybe even your second one. But if you've got somebody that's good at all the positions on a line, that's definitely somebody that bodes a lot better for making the team than others do. So good luck to both of them. Once again, I didn't see, I believe the 49ers play next Saturday, not this one, but the next one. I believe against Tampa Bay is who they play against. So take a look at that. Good luck to both of them. And then we'll keep everyone updated as the games go by and how they did and how much they played as the weeks continue. Moving on to PGA news, Brooks Koepka won the WGC Invitational in Memphis last weekend, securing him the FedEx Cup lead going into the playoffs next week, while also earning him a cool $10 million on the Wyndham Challenge. The top golfer going into the tournament won $10 million, so he's not doing bad. Brooks shows up a half hour. It's all he showed up before he tee time in the final round last week at the WGC Invitational, and then calmly won by 3 strokes at 16 under, kind of thumbing his nose. A lot of people looking at me like, wow, he just thumbs his nose at all of this with how good he is and everything else. Doesn't even show up early. He's mentioned before that he doesn't do practice rounds. He's like, no, I don't really need to practice. I just go out there, and if you're watching me golf, that's when I'm golfing. I'm not practicing a bunch. I'm not going out and doing all these rounds. I'm not on the range for 5 hours a day hitting and everything else. I just go out and play, and that's an amazing God-given talent, but it's tough for anybody like Webb Simpson, who finished second at 13 under, to grasp that. We talked about it before. Tiger Woods texted him and said, hey, what if you want to play a practice round for the British Open, the Open over in Ireland? Koepka never texted him back, and when they asked him about it, he said, well, I just didn't do any. I didn't really want to practice. I just want to go out and play. So congratulations to Brooks Koepka. This week, the season wraps up again, as we said, in the Wyndham Championship with the top 125 in FedEx Cup points getting into the playoffs and keeping their PGA card for another year. Again, only the top 125 keep their cards. Anybody below that, and I think there's 300 and some golfers in the FedEx Cup, anybody below that has to then play their way in. Going to the web.com, getting medical exemptions, whatever it might be. But if you're in that top 125, you're guaranteed for the next year. Currently, our my man crush, Nick Taylor, enters the final event, ranked 114th in the FedEx Cup. He's almost guaranteed a playoff spot and keep his card, and something astronomical happens is the only way it won't happen. Right now, he's currently at a tie for 46th at 2 under in the first round. Through 6 holes, he has 2 birdies, no bogeys. Did par the par 5, so could have picked up a stroke there, but didn't. He is on hole 7, putting from about, I'd say 40 feet away for his birdie. But we'll keep track of that throughout this show and the next week. He's currently started at 114. He's projected right now, if the tournament ended today, to finish at 115. So I think if he makes the cut, it's a for sure. If he doesn't, I think a lot of things are going to have to, a lot of players that are battling for this are going to have to do a lot of amazing things to drop him below 125. He did take last week off, I think, preparing for that, knowing that he's pretty much in. So good luck to him coming up. Finally today, we'll in the national news, we'll talk about football starts tonight. NFL kicks off tonight, the preseason game, the Hall of Fame game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Denver Broncos. Game is on NBC tonight at 6 o'clock. We will learn absolutely nothing from the game. You might learn some new player names, and you might go, oh, wait a minute, that kid used to play for Portland State or for Southern Utah or for Eastern. Other than that, you're not going to learn a lot. I don't think you're going to see many of the starters. Maybe for Denver you will. Just because they're breaking in a couple new quarterbacks, so you're going to see a bunch of different quarterbacks for them and stuff like that. But I don't think you're going to see anything earth-shattering, but it's good to know that football is back. Preseason games are boring. All the players kind of hate them. But the Hall of Fame game is kind of one of my favorite ones just because you get to see the class. They talk to them at halftime, talk about their thing. The new class of, I guess it would be 2019. That's inducted this weekend into the Hall of Fame. So good luck to all the NFL teams. My Detroit Lions will play at some point in the week and lose. Stafford will probably get hurt, and that'll be the end of the season. It's normally how these things play out for me. We'll take a quick break right now and come back with a look at high school sports, plus a big announcement. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or IanLaird3 on the Twitters. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Visiting is pretty. Visiting is good. It seems that all they ever wanted was a brother.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or you can give me a jingle at IanLaird3 on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs to catch all the preseason NFL games, plus the playoffs in the Golf, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. Coming up, we have to take a look at the Bobcats signings, as what it looks like from the first week of camp, plus the Big Sky race this year and why I think they need to cut half of the teams involved in the Big Sky. But first, local sports action from this past week. And we'll start with, alrighty, so taking a look, breaking news this week, we just found out, and I'm very excited about this. Breaking news, KGVM will be the voice of the Bozeman Hawks this coming school year. Hawks went without any coverage of local games last year after the station they were with went out of business. We are truly excited about this, and yours truly will be the play-by-play person with special guests coming in throughout the year to help with color. We are very excited and honored to bring these games to the local community. I personally would like to thank new head of athletics at the Bozeman High, Mark Ader, for dealing with me and me constantly hounding him to get this done. He's been great to work with. Mark, I apologize for being such a hound on these things. But I really appreciate all the work that you did and letting us get to this point. And we all here are very, very excited to bring you Bozeman Hawk football games coming up this next year. My son Camden, Ashley's going to be helping out as well. You won't really hear him a lot on the mic, but he is going to be my spotter for most of the games, making sure that I get the right number that made tackles or interceptions or big plays. So very excited to announce that. You'll see a bunch of it on our Facebook page and on my Facebook page and Twitter pages as things come up. But with that said, I want to take a quick look at the games we will be doing next year for the Hawks. Our first broadcast ever for Bozeman Hawk football will be September 6th at 7 o'clock when the Hawks take on the Missoula Big Sky Eagles. Hawks actually start their year the week before that with a trip to Kalispell to play the Flathead Braves on August 30th. So our first broadcast will be 7 o'clock. That game, again, September 6th at 7 o'clock, Hawks take on Missoula Big Sky Eagles. On the 13th, the Hawks will be at home for the second week in a row as they take on Billings Senior. Again, all these games at 7 o'clock, just so you know. Hawks then head to Billings to battle Skyview, the Falcons, on the 19th. Hawks then head home for homecoming to play Great Falls High Bison. October starts with the Hawks hitting the road to play CMR, so they have Great Falls 1 week, CMR the next. Bozeman High returns on the 11th. To home to face Belgrade, their new rival in AA, the Belgrade Panthers. That one is on the 11th again of October. And they wrap up their season at home again against the Billings West Bears. So they've actually got 5 of their 8 games are at home. So a very favorable schedule for the last year that the Hawks or Bozeman will have just one school. So good luck to the Hawks. And once again, we are very excited to be able to announce that. Very excited that we're going to be able to be a part of Bozeman Hawk football. So once again, the games we'll be doing are on, and we'll go over this later in the show again, September 6th, we have the Eagles. September 13th, against Senior. Pretty much all Fridays. homecoming is the 27th against Great Falls. Then Bozeman plays new rival, the Belgrade Panthers. It'll be interesting to see how the Panthers do in their first year. Next week, we'll talk a little bit about how Belgrade will do their schedule and how we think they're going to do now stepping up to the AA level. I think they've got some good talent, but when you step up that level, it's really tough at first, and I think the Hawks are going to see that next year and the Raptors when there's two schools in Bozeman. Hawks then wrap up again at home against Billings West. So 5 great games we're going to be able to bring to you. Thank you once again, Mark Ader, for making this possible. KGVM is very excited to announce that and be a part of that. Once again, next week we'll look at the Belgrade schedule to see how they will compete. We'll also take a look at Manhattan and Three Forks and some of theirs coming up the next couple weeks as well. Moving on to baseball, as the seasons are wrapping up, but not for everybody. Bucks were playing at State this last week at the state AA tournament, and did pretty well, if you ask me. The Bucks won every game they played on the way to the first state championship since 2007. So congratulations to the Bucks. Hunter Williams, the Bucks ace, won the final game of the tourney over the Billings Royals 6-1. Williams was also named to the state MVP, state tournament MVP, like we said. We're working on him getting an interview. I know his mom, so it should work out. So hopefully we'll have him next week before they start. Williams was 2-0 in the tournament, while Murfitt was given the top batter award with a .529 average, .667 on base percentage, and his 10 runs scored. But the Bucks went much deeper than that. The Bozeman went 5-0 in the tournament, outscoring their opponents 48-12. Though the championship game was their lowest scoring output, they did reach double digits in 3 of the 5 games. So that's putting amazing batting and great pitching together. We'll have to see how that all plays out for them. The Bucks now head to Lewiston, Idaho for the American Legion Northwest Regional Tournament, where they will face the top teams from Alaska, Oregon, Washington, Wyoming, and Idaho. We do have the schedule. It's not for sure yet. Some things could change, but it looks like it starts next Wednesday again in Lewiston, Idaho. Beautiful place to go in the fall. It's not. I'm kidding. The 7th is when it starts. Alaska champ will play the Oregon champs in the 10 a.m. game. The Bucks will then take on the Washington runner-ups. Washington got 2 teams into it. Game 3 is the Wyoming champs versus the Idaho champs. Game 4 is Washington champs versus the host team, which is the Lewiston Idaho team. So if I look at that correctly in that first day, I see it as Montana coming in as one of the top seeds. If you're playing the runner-up or the worst team that's in it and you're the best team, that's kind of how it works, 1 through 8. So hopefully the Hawks do well. Once again, their game is at 1 o'clock next week. Montana will play the Washington runner-up. Thursday, loser-out games in the morning, and then the winners' games in the afternoon of 1, 2, 3, and 4. Friday, winner games pretty much all day. Winners versus losers, and the last game is the only two winners available. And then it goes Saturday through Sunday if needed, as both everyone needs to lose twice. Unless one team doesn't lose at all, like the Bucks did going into this. So good luck to the Bucks coming up next week. Once again, they are champs. They go 5-0 at the state tournament. And Williams, their ace, is looking really into it right now and really good. We hope to have Hunter on here next week again. We'll talk to his beautiful mother about that and see if we can get him on. Moving down the road a little bit to Three Forks, Gallatin Valley Outlaws were participating in the State A Legion Tournament last week. Came up just a bit short, losing in the semifinals 15-14 to the Bitterroot Bucks. But congratulations to the Outlaws on an amazing season. That wraps up their year. They went into the Southern Tournament as the number 2 seed and won it convincingly. They were routing people in this one until they just hit a couple snags. Their pitching couldn't hold up, but 15-14 is no bad way to go out. A close game like that, Bitterroot comes from behind to beat them. So congratulations to them as well, and again, congratulations to the Bucks. We'll take a quick break right now, come back with a look at Big Sky Conference going into next year, and my thoughts on how to fix this uneven schedule. Hint, you're not going to have as many team. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org. 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
If you don't believe, listen up to my new CD, Sham On. I got shit running through my brain, so intense that I can't explain. All alone in my white boy pain.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or Ian Laird 3, KGVM Sports, on the Twitters. Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs to catch all the preseason NFL games located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Once again, their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your local sports authority. So, Cats start camp tomorrow. Everyone's very excited about it. It means football's just around the corner, less than 30 days away from the first game. We'll get into the five things to watch here in a little bit in our last segment. But first, with a very quick segment here before we go into break, I want to get something off my chest. We went over the Cats schedule last week. And something really glaring came out as we were going over it. We picked the Cats to finish 9 or 10 wins, depending on the quarterback situation and all that, but we'll get into that. There are way too many teams, and a lot of them are bad in the Big Sky. There's no excuse for a lot of these teams. I understand that the commission is trying to make it to where we're spread out more in the West, where the only FCS Western kind of conference there is, blah, 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 blah. I get all that. But when you have 13 teams in your conference, there is no way that everyone can play everyone ever. And if you split the conference up to North and South, which we'll take a look at here in a second, I think it screws over at least one group. I think your North or South are going to be stronger, and we'll take a look at that. So my suggestion is get rid of the dead weight. First, if you split it up into between North and South, your North teams are going to be Portland State, Eastern Washington, probably Montana, Montana State, Weber, and Idaho. Your bottom ones are going to be your Southern Utah, Sacramento State, Cal Poly, Northern Colorado, Probably Southern Utah. Those are going to be your Southern teams. Well, that Southern group, I hope the Montana State's in that one because they all suck. All of the good teams are up north. And so what is the point? I think you get rid of the following teams. You get rid of Southern Utah. You get rid of Sacramento State. You get rid of Cal Poly. UC Davis is going to move up. So I don't see that being – I don't think they're going to be here long anyways. They want to move up to FBS with all of their improvements that are coming up. Northern Colorado's never going to move up. Cal Poly's never going to move up. So that leaves you with Eastern Washington, Montana, Montana State, Weber, NAU, Idaho State, Idaho, and maybe Portland State. Hell, get rid of them if you want to. But maybe those teams. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you include Portland State, that's 8. On a normal season, then, you get 8 conference games, 3 non-conference games. On normal 11 seasons, if you get rid of Portland State, then you play the 7 games and you have 4 non-conference games, giving the Cats a better chance to bring in some FCS teams here, maybe not having to play a money game and then 2 tough games. You can play a money game and some decent ones after that, or some easier ones and then some good ones. But I just think that is a way better way for this to go. Now, I understand they want the reason why Northern Colorado's in there is because it's close to the Denver market. Nobody in Denver knows who Northern Colorado is. They're located in Greeley. They're not in Boulder. They're not in Colorado Springs. They're not in beautiful places. It's Greeley. It's a cow pasture. So get rid of them. I understand why they're there, and that's the whole thing. But get rid of them. I don't see any reason for the California teams. It's a tough schedule. Southern Utah is a nightmare to try to get to. I think you have to go into Vegas and then bus over. NAU, you go into Phoenix and then bus up, but that's doable, and then you go over to Sacramento State. I get that, I guess, but if you're going to eliminate some of these and some that don't draw anything, Northern Colorado doesn't draw any fans, Southern Utah doesn't draw any fans, hell, Idaho State doesn't draw any, but at least they are an original member of the Big Sky, so I can see keeping them just for that reason, but the rest of them don't really belong in the conference. I mean, you've got teams like Montana State, the Grizzlies, Eastern Washington, who's not drawing great, but they're getting up there. Weber State's always a perennial powerhouse. Idaho coming back brings some interest into it if they don't falter because they're woe is me, I'm back at the FCS. They should have never gone to the FBS in the first place. They were just chasing Boise State to there. So I don't think that they should have gone anyways. But they're back, and at least that's somewhat of a rival to some of the things, Little Brown Jug or whatever the hell they play for over in Missoula against Idaho, that Idaho will probably win. So those teams I can see, but your Grizzlies, your Cats, your Weber in basketball, some of these are the ones, NAU sometimes in basketball, those are the ones that people are going to come watch. Portland State is an outlier. They want the Portland area, but again, Portland State's surrounded by Oregon, Oregon State, and Washington right above them, 2 hours. Within 2.5 hours, you can drive and watch Oregon, Oregon State, or Washington play in football, and within 2 hours in basketball, you can watch Pacific and a bunch of the other really good schools that are up there as well. So I can see trying to get that metropolitan area into it, but if they're not into it and you're playing in Hillsboro, which is a high school stadium, when you draw recruits here, they're going to look at Montana State and say, wow, this is really nice. There's new facilities being built. You know, this is the kind of place we want to play at. When you do the exact opposite of that and then take those players to Northern Colorado or Southern Utah or some of these other ones, and they go, oh, what is this? It's demoralizing. And it's not great football either when some of these teams are coming up here. MSU, UM, and Eastern Washington, some of these pay a lot of money for these tickets, and you're watching terrible football on some of the weekends. Sure, Northern Colorado sometimes comes up and beats one of the teams, but not very often. They're normally at the bottom, and I don't see them getting any better, and I don't see their conference putting, or their schools putting any money like some of these other ones are. So my fix on that is that until you do that, UC Davis, Eastern Washington, and Weber don't even play each other. They're all going to be towards the top because none of them have to play each one of those teams. So you're looking at them going 8-1 or 9-1 or 7-1 in the conference and not having to play anybody that can maybe knock them off, which then puts at, all right, there's 4 great Big Sky teams, but are they really that great? Have they been tested at all, or are they just playing schlubs from the bottom of the Big Sky most of the year, and then they get trounced by somebody in the playoffs? Sure, the Cats got trounced by North Dakota State last year, but everybody did. But I'm talking when they get in and some lowly team puts 50 up on them. And it's like, I thought they were better than that. No, they just didn't play anybody good. So that's my little rant about that. But the games are all on Pluto, which has its struggles as well. That's just me. I just think it needs to go to that. I don't think it's going to happen. They're talking about splitting it. They're even talking about bringing in Denver as a team, or what was the other one somebody said? It wasn't Adams State, but it was one of those where it's like, really? We crushed them by 50 a couple years ago, and now they're going to move into the Big Sky? If anything, prepare yourself, because the Pac-10 or the Power 5 are all going to move on. They're not even going to be part of the NCAA here probably in 5-10 years. They're all going to move on. Then the lower, the G5 or whatever they call them, will be the new Power 5. And then teams like Montana, Montana State, Eastern, Weber, some of these are going to be picked up by the Great West, or one of these conferences, Middle West, I should say, one of these conferences that really need more teams, because some of them, some of theirs moved on. So I hope we go FBS. I don't think we have the money to do it at this point. I don't think it's even a thought right now. But as the talent gets better with the Cats and it gets lower with some of the bottom teams, eventually it's going to hit a breaking point where something has to change. We'll take a quick break right now. Once again, come back with a look at the 5 key things to look at in the fall camp for the Cats. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org or 95.9 on the internets, or IanLaird3 on the Twitters. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dial, or IanLaird3 on the Twitters. AC/DC, Long Way to the Top. I know I played it last week, but I love AC/DC. It reminds me of the Bobcats, and they start scrimmage tomorrow. And it is a long way to the top, so what do the Cats have to do to get there? Let's take a look at 5 of the stories that I think are the most important ones to take to keep an eye on going into fall camp. Now, some of these will switch as we find out news of who showed up to camp, who didn't, who gets injured, and who wasn't. But starting it off, I think in camp, these are the 5 main positions that I look at. Like, okay, these are the ones to keep an eye on. The first one, of course, is quarterback. We don't know who we're going to have. Troy Anderson isn't there anymore, supposedly. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. It's a very well-kept secret where Superman will play. But I think the other 3 are just as good. Beltran, Bauman, and of course, Rovig. I think Rovig has the step up because he's been in the program the longest. Throws the nicest ball, is the most mature right now. He played well last year, like we talked about before, but how can they, when they get into camp, how can they gel with the receivers? How can they gel with the offensive line? How can the play calling of Matt Miller help this quarterback get the job done? I don't think we are going to see a running quarterback in a triple option type of wishbone plays we were doing last year at all this coming up year. I really think they're going to focus more on getting the ball downfield. What scares me about that is dump off passes to the running backs more than looking downfield and making sure you complete the pass. Rovick had some that, if you look at his tape from last year, were amazing passes. He stuck in there, got drilled as he was throwing it. Most of them were against Wagner before he got hurt, and Wagner isn't the greatest team to judge somebody on. But I think he will do a great job back there. Beltran's a little smaller, a little faster. Don't know if he has the same arm that Rovick or Bowman do. And Casey, of course, the third option, who might be the second option, 6'7", more of a Ben Roethlisberger type, I guess. That's pretty high praise for somebody who hasn't played yet, but he's more of that stature. Big guy, not going to run, cannon for an arm. Can he be accurate enough and make the passes quick enough and get his reads down quick enough to contribute this year? Who knows? But that's what fall camp's all about, and I think those are the main storyline to look at, is can these guys improve through the summer, and that quarterback comes out and, like, that's the guy. And that's what you're looking for. Not that all three of them aren't going to be good, but you want the one to step up and say, that's our guy for next year. So that'll be the main thing to look at over the next couple weeks. Number two on my list is linebacker position. Struggled last couple years with linebacker position. I think it was the weak link on our offense. Teams took control of that by running multiple receivers out to one side that made linebackers switch over and cover them. With Anderson being what they're saying a linebacker now, that adds the most speed on the team to that position. But can they stay healthy all year, and can they contribute and help those over the middle passes and on blitzing downs? Too often last year, we couldn't blitz linebackers because there was wide open over the middle. Our safeties are great. Our DBs are great. But if we don't have that pressure and that consistency from the linebacker position, I think it's going to be a kind of the same year as last year. A good defense, but not an amazing defense. Maybe even close to a great defense, but not that big sky first best team in the big sky defensively kind of year. So linebackers are definitely something. We've got some big kids coming in. Again, Anderson moving over there. How does he gel with it? How does he do in the linebacker position? He's been All-American in every other position he's ever played. So I don't think there's going to be a big issue there. But that's definitely something to look at. Third is defensive line pressure. We were great last year at that, I think, at times. I think that Sterk got figured out towards the end. The Grizzlies could never figure him out. But if he's getting double teamed, there needs to be some other pressure from the other side. We always had pressure from the middle or that one side. We didn't get a lot of it last year from the other side. Got some transfers coming in that might move some kids outside. Hopefully we can get that speed if our linebackers, again, can play healthy and you can have one of them blitz every once in a while. If you imagine Troy Anderson sprinting off the side, nobody's going to be able to get to the corner to block him. If you can have those kind of things going on, I think that'll be huge for the Cats. But that D-line position and getting pressure on the quarterback, you're going to face a lot of throwing teams. Not the greatest running teams, but a lot of them, UC Davis among them, are great at throwing the ball. And when you get into the playoffs, that's who you're going to face, or Eastern Washington's. And some of those, UC Davis is going to be the toughest test. Probably Texas Tech will be the toughest, but UC Davis in our conference. So that'll be a big step to see how they do on that. Fourth on the list is special teams. I think we have one of the best punters. He got ripped off again in the All-American and the Big Sky. But Padmos is one of the best punters that are out there in the Big Sky. Great at pinning people in. I don't know how long his punts really are compared to the average, but he is great. He pinned at least probably four or five different punts inside the 20-yard line when the Cats were playing the Grizzlies. That is a huge weapon to have, to where it's not rolling into the end zone. You get it at the 25. He was knocking them out of bounds inside the 15, 10, even sometimes the 5. So that's a huge weapon there. The main thing I want to look at is consistency on the field goal kickers. We lost a couple of the last couple of years. Last year was shaky at times, missed some extra points that you shouldn't really miss, had some blocks. So how does special teams come up and prove some depth if Bailey's struggling, that we can get somebody in there? So that'll be very interesting to see how they improve throughout the summer. Again, they kind of just do their own thing, so you never know how they're going to respond at any given time. The last one that we had of the five is running back depth. Sure, Ifanse and Jones are studs. We all know that. But who's going to step up? Tucker, is it going to be? Or who is it going to be that steps up outside of those two players that can help with some depth? Ifanse can't run it 100 times a year and not get dinged up, especially as hard as he runs. Jones is known to get dinged up at times. and he's more of a scat back sprinter out to the outside. Ifanse is your thunder in the thunder and lightning crew, I guess. He gets hit it right at the line. He's going to drive his feet another 4 or 5 yards. He's not the fastest in the world, but he's one of the better players in the Big Sky. And with those two, I think you're in great shape. But who else is going to step up? The Cats have brought in a ton of running backs. I mean, a lot of them. Some of them, I don't know, will pan out. Some of them, I think, are going to redshirt. And some of them will leave. That happens every year. Who's going to be the next one that steps up? And when Jones graduates, takes over that role with Ifanse? Because Ifanse is going to be a true sophomore next year. You need some of those backup players, Tucker III, if that's who it's going to be, or whoever it might. So that'll be really interesting to see how they gel together. The last thing, even though I said 5, so 5.1, transfers. It's always an issue. You get these kids on tape and they transfer from UW or they transfer from Colorado and they have all of these huge ceilings for talent. And you just think, man, this year is going to be special with those kind of players. And a lot of times they don't pan out all the time. So how do those transfers, now that they're started school, now that they're in classes and not just summer workouts, now that they're working out constantly and having to go to class, are they going to be able to step it up and help the Cats either with depth or with starting spots and being able to come right away and contribute as a starter? It's always interesting to see how those dynamics play out. Also, kids that are from far from home, I would include in that transfer kind of a thing. Kids from Florida, that monster we have a linebacker this year out of Florida. Can he adapt to this area? Has he been up here? I know he has throughout the summer. How does that work out once even the snow starts flying or whatever it might be? So it'll all be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I think it is looking to be a very special year for the Cats. We'll come back next week and talk about more individual performances we saw at the practices, as I'm going to try to hit as many as I can. Well, that'll pretty much do it for the show. Sitting in with me today was Camden. He's behind me here. Let him walk up to the mic as we wrap up the show. Camden, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
So Camden, again, does Twitches or Twitches? What is it called?
Twitch.
So it's Twitch. What is your handle again on that?
ClueGaming3078.
So he needs, I think it's like 10 people, a show or something like that, to where he can start recording his shows. So get out there and help the brother out.
I need an average of, I think, 3 viewers on average. For, like, to be able to record.
I watched. And by the way, you can do what I did last time and just put it on mute and put it off to the side and do chores or whatever it is. It still shows you're watching. So that counts as well.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Once again, that'll do it for our show today. Thank you very much for listening. Camden, thank you for coming on. Once again, the big news, the Hawks, voice of the Hawks will be KGVM and myself with Camden and some other ones helping out as well. So enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you very much. Good luck to Nick. Good luck to the Bucks as well down in Idaho, and everyone have a great weekend. Get out there. There's a bunch of festivals going on this week. Get out there and support some local artists. Have a good weekend and take care.